Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning and the opportunity to gather to look at your word, and I pray that today you would speak clearly to each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that your promise to us is that what you start, you will finish. That if we have opened our life to you, we've taken that gift of eternal life, allowing you to come in. Lord, you say that you're not content to let us just stay the way we are, but you help us grow. But God, I also recognize we can fight you hard and even put up walls that really will not let us grow. And today, Lord, I pray you tear down those walls. And I pray that you just guide our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Something new that's been changing in Lisa and my life over this last year is we've changed stages. We're no longer parents. We're now grandparents. And I thought I'd show you. You can pull it up. We took a day away to see my son and daughter-in-law, and that is my grandson, Tyler. I thought the awe factor is really cool on grandkids. But they're up in New Jersey. David is a youth pastor and also does some other things. But Tyler is just too cute. Is he not? Yeah. So we actually had to get grandma's tank filled up. Then, if you've never made the connection, Christy Connor, who is my daughter, changed the name because of Dave, which is awesome. They're expecting October. So that'll be number two. And you'll get to see baby Connor probably more often than not. So, all right. Today, if you want to like draw or take notes, I've put a paper out there for you. We're talking today about means of change. Okay? I threw it out to you guys in pairs. I said, hey, who's trying to change you? How many of you recognize, raise your hand if you're like, I know my parents are trying to change me. Raise your hands. That's it? Everyone else's parents have given up. Okay. All right. How many of you have a coach that you feel like, not just athletics, but is trying to help you change? Raise your hand. You got a coach. All right, cool. How many of you have, a teacher that you feel like is trying to pour into your life a little bit and love to see you change? Okay. All right. How many of you have a friend? How many of you have a friend that you feel like is really helping you, trying to help you change? Okay. I'm not seeing a lot of hands. So either you're not awake or nothing's happening. You know, that change may not be happening in your life. I don't know. All right. Well, as we've been preparing over the last couple weeks, always is really our time to kind of retool in the youth ministry. We try to figure out, you know, what do we think we want to change and improve as we go into the new year. And one of the driving questions is what we're doing helping you guys grow in your walk with God? Because if it's not, it's like, why are we doing it? Well, it's interesting. A church out in Chicago that I visited a couple times is called Willow Creek. It's one of the larger churches in the country. They asked that question too, and they took the time, spent the money, and plowed into what they were doing, and they produced this, a thing called Reveal, and it says, where are you? So what we're going to talk today, just kind of springboarding back into the Word of God, is some of the things that they came up with, and I think it might surprise you. Because if you look at the way that we try to change, there are a lot of things that happen. How many of you feel like parents have the nagging tool? They're trying to nag you into change? Still not much response. Okay, then you must have great parents. They don't nag you. Or your parents here. So, but how we change is really important. Here's something I'll throw out to you. If you are not changing, you're dying. Okay? Things that don't change are stagnant. Okay, and that is not a good place to be. You know, whether it's any part of your life, you know, you're going to go into high school and they're going to try to pour all these awesome, you know, facts into your head about history and science and math. If you don't change, if those things don't become part of your thinking, it's not good when the test comes. It's just not good. Okay, so same way with life. But here is the hypothesis, okay, big word. Here's an assumption that Willow Creek made, and I think we make sometimes, and the hypothesis is this. There is a, and this is a word that you don't use, but there is a migration path for spiritual growth based on church activities. Okay? There's a migration path for spiritual growth based on church activities. Okay? The thought is, if you do more spiritual things, if you do more church stuff, then obviously you're going to grow. Sometimes that's the way we're thinking of, you know, if you only come to Sunday morning, then, you know, you're only going to get a certain amount. But if you come to Wednesday night in our small groups, you actually go further, and that's true. And then if you're a part of Shonen Art, you're able to take a couple more steps. But the thing they found was, well, actually, pull up the next slide. This is what, if that was true, this is the way it would look, okay? If the left side is you growing spiritually and the right side is the level of church activity, okay? So, and those two lines up, spiritual behaviors would grow as you did more things, okay? You would give to God, you'd share Christ, you'd serve. That would, the more you did, the more you would do those things. Also, spiritual attitudes, your love for God, your love for other people, that would just automatically grow. That would be true if that assumption was correct, okay? The two things, sorry, still maturing here. The two things that we're really looking to do as a church, and you would know this if you noticed what our purpose statement is, it's to know Christ and to make Him known. If I boil down everything we're doing here, it's so that we can know Christ better and to make Him known. We would say that is the Christian life, okay? So, it would be true then that I would know Christ and make Him know better the more I do with church activities. Next slide, though, shows you, this is kind of how it works out, all right? That it is true that your behaviors will change the more active you are, because you pick up on that. But actually, your love for God and your love for people, when they surveyed, like, a high number of their congregation and then other congregations that were vastly different than them, this is what they found, that there was almost no change in spiritual growth. The level of activity itself does not determine it. It's interesting, neither does your age, your gender, the type of or size of church, okay, or where you're looking, doesn't change it, okay? The discovery they had was, and this is what they learned through this whole process, your involvement in church activities alone does not predict spiritual growth. But there is what they call a spiritual continuum, meaning there's a progression in four different separate stages where, depending on what stage you're in, it kind of helps you understand that that kind of shows where you're at spiritually, okay? And to make the move to the next one, it isn't easy. It's a decision that becomes a conviction that then, and there's a big important key that I'll tell you in just a minute that factors that. Okay, and what that means is, all behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs they measured relating to a growing love for God and others advanced in lockstep along this continuum, and it didn't center on church activities, but a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. How close relationally are you to Christ? That's what was the factor, okay? So, show the next slide. Okay, here's those four levels, and we're going to talk about them. Exploring Christianity, growing in Christ, close to Christ, or Christ-centered, and I'll explain what those mean. But you'll notice those who are exploring Christ, you know, they're not very active in church or whatnot, but as they grow through these different stages, that's what changes behavior, that's what changes attitude, and ultimately your love for Christ. You might be going, that's really good, Bob. I don't track you at all. So look at your sheet there. I want to walk through it and basically describe it, okay? The four stages are listed there below. Exploring Christianity, okay? And some of you in this room are in this category. This would be true of you. I believe in God in general, but I'm not sure about Jesus. You know, like, who is he? Why do I? What's his deal? What's he want? And faith is, at this point, it's not a big factor in my life. It's not that I don't want. It's just that it's just not there. I've not gone there, okay? But in that point, you are actually making a step because you're saying, I do want to know more. That's why you're here, okay? And you're at a point where, you know, you would not agree with strong statements yet, but you're considering, you know, what's going on. It says then, your attitudes and behavior, they do not involve God in their lives because they don't really know how to, you know, and that would be true if that's where you were at, and that would be normal. They need others to help them interpret spiritual issues, and that is normal. They seek God's guidance only in times of need, and they don't necessarily serve in the church because they're not around the church that much. I remember being in that stage. I would argue that I was a Christian, and I would argue about God, but I really didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And I really wasn't that involved, because I thought it was kind of a waste of time. Like, why would you spend hours on a weekend going to something you didn't really think was real? So, but from there, you would jump, and the needs then that they would have is seeker services, which say, we will talk about this in an open way and opportunities to connect with others to discuss it, okay? So if you're at that stage, that's awesome because you've made a step. Because becoming from an anti-God, I don't want anything to do, to basically the word in there that's blank, C, is consider. You are considering this whole God thing, okay? So that was a step that brought you to that stage. Next is growing in Christ. Those are people who would say by their life, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm working on what it means to get to know him. Okay, there's a lot to get to know. I remember when I made that decision and I put my faith in Christ, and as the Bible describes, the Bible starts making sense because the Holy Spirit comes inside. And I just wanted to get to know, try to understand it. My attitudes were changing. They're discovering their faith. They sometimes read the Bible. They need others to help them interpret that. They're willingly participate in small groups because they're hoping, wow, in a small group, I can ask more questions than good questions. It's great. And they begin at times to start serving. They're like, wow, first fruits, that's crazy. You guys go out all day and you serve. And that's really cool. So they've made a step from, I'm just looking, to now the next word would be believe. You know, I believe it. I've made a step. And believing, as we biblically understand it, believing is not knowing facts. Believing is transferring trust, which we talked about last week. Okay? What they need is small group opportunities. They need to get in that small group to really get to be able to talk at a deeper level. And they need to begin the practices in terms of disciplining themselves, in terms of, I need to read the Bible, I need to pray, not because it's a good thing to do, it's because my relationship with Jesus changed. And now I know I need to hear from him, and I need to talk to him, and then I need to tell others about him, because that's what I would do naturally. Then there's a jump to say those who are close in Christ. Okay? Actually, one thing I forgot to mention, it's not on your notes, but growing in Christ, there are early believers who are growing in their faith through church experiences and are also starting to incorporate personal spiritual practices into their normal routine outside of church. I remember I was that weird kid that I got it, and I was walking with God to the point where I started bringing my Bible to school, not to prove anything, but I knew I had some free time, and I didn't have a lot of it, so I knew that I would grab it at lunch or something like that. But it started affecting my life outside of Sunday, okay? Close to Christ. The statement they would make is, I feel really close to Christ, and I depend upon him for daily guidance. It's not just, I believe, and I'm trying to figure it out, but now it's, I feel close, and I'm starting to depend on him, okay? These believers report much higher levels of personal practices. They're, you know, you're starting to discipline yourself in terms of getting closer to Christ. Serving emerges as an important step. But yet there's still one thing lacking. It's like, I'm really following, but I'm not sure I'm ready to really let go. You know, I'm working this one out. So the word there is obey. Okay, I went from I'm considering, then I believed, I became a believer. And as a believer, I'm checking it out. But then I got to the point where I realized God said, I want you to make some choices, hard choices, and that would require me to obey you and the things that you've told me. And then lastly, there's one last step, and these aren't linear all the time, but the last statement is Christ-centered, which means God is all I need in my life. He is enough. Everything I do is a reflection of Christ. And to you, wherever you're sitting, that may sound ridiculously crazy or radical. And it is. It really is. These people have fully surrendered their lives to Christ by demonstrating a dramatically higher level of spiritual behaviors and attitudes across the board. They very strongly agree that they seek God's guidance in every area of their lives, two times higher than any other. This, by the way, this is what came out of their survey and whatnot. Okay, this isn't the Bible, but this is tracking what we're seeing, and I would agree with what they say. The word here would be surrender. Okay, it's where you go. For you who've been to camp, sometimes we talk about, have you ever dedicated your life to God, or which is kind of a weird word, but the Bible talks about bond slaves. You know, Paul said, "I'm a bond slave of Christ," and in that context, he said, what that is, it's someone who's been set free as a slave. And this is what happened in the Old Testament. Set free as a slave who then said, I willingly become a slave because I love my master that much. Okay, and then they put a hole in their ear to demonstrate, I am one who willingly has surrendered my life. And you would only do that, obviously, if that master was incredible and you trusted him and you had a relationship with him and you knew that's where life would be. So, attitudes and behavior, they love God more than anything. For them, prayer is a constant conversation. They help to mentor others. Service to them is a new way of life. Okay. Needs that they have mentoring opportunities and a wide range of serving opportunities. I did forget, close to Christ, I didn't talk about their attitudes and behavior, so I'm going to jump back. Prayer is central to their life. The Bible provides direction. They have not surrendered everything to Christ. Small groups are more of a giving than taking opportunity. Spiritual friends increase in importance and they serve regularly. So right now what I'd like you to do, since that's the whole thing is kind of in your head, right now I want you to kind of either mentally or physically check the box where you think you are. Check, like, what would be most true? Okay, and I'm not taking in papers or anything. This is kind of for you to lock on, because I think it'll help you see what even what we're talking about next. So take a moment, just write that down. Okay, I'm thinking I'm missing a page of notes because it isn't making sense. All right. So, if the key issue then is you growing in a relationship with Christ, what does that look like? What is relational closeness to Christ? Okay, John 15, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you." He said, "My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love." In other words, the closeness to you with Christ, the issue there is really fulfilling what Jesus had already said. He said, "If you abide with me, keep short accounts and walk with me, then you'll bear fruit." 2 Peter 1:3 said, "Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him." Meaning, the way I grow is not through learning more facts, it's learning experientially about him. Philippians 3, Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." The number one thing Paul said in following him is, "I just want to know him." And you see that a person's closeness to Christ changes between the different steps. Okay? The next step. What causes a person to move from one stage to the next? Okay? Got to see your sheet. In terms of the next step, there's four down there. Okay, the first one, and I've already told you it, is to consider the claims of Christ. Okay, which means you're basically going from a stage of rejecting God to now considering. To go to the next one is to believe in the claims of Christ, leaving disbelief and suspicion. The next is to obey Jesus from a stage of trust. Now that becomes action. And lastly, is to surrender to Christ, which means you're really moving from obedience to really worship. These happen as a result of making the next choice that becomes a conviction, which produces the attitudes, behaviors, and attitudes. They by themselves don't change you, but they put you in a place where the Holy Spirit and the Word of God enable you to really let God work in your heart. Okay, now having said that, I'd like to ask Adam and Vinny to come on up here. Okay, they're my two subjects today. So come on up. Let's give them a hand. All right. You never know who I'll pick. So, all right. I'm trying to look for a good thing here. Okay, just for this purpose, Adam, I'm going to make you Jesus. So when you see Adam, you see Jesus. Right. Okay. All right. Vinny is you. Okay. Vinny is the man or woman that you are right now. Okay. So here's what I want to show you. Okay. Adam, get over there. Okay. Come here, Vin. Okay. So turn around. I'm looking that way. Okay. Okay. So here's Vinny. Okay. He's a wild and crazy hater of God, okay, or just not interested in God. So he's got a first step. Can I borrow your red book? Yeah. It looks cool. Let's open it. No. Okay. Sorry. Jesus, you need to move over there, a little further over there. Okay. So for him, for him to go from somebody who really doesn't have any interest in God to move over to where Jesus is, this is the line, the red book is the line. You can't see it, just trust me, it's there. Okay, for him to move across that, what decisions does he have to make? Okay. His view of God is definitely affected. Okay. But he has to be willing to get move towards him to find out. Okay. He's not making any commitments, right? But to move over here means... Sorry, Vinny. I feel like I'm pushing it. To move over there means you're willing to start hearing truth. Your view of God is changing to where he may be a source of help and... Good thing that you're talking to God. That's good. That's something we encourage. All right. Or he may even be seeing the real need of, you know, stuff is beating him up in his life. If you're in this situation where you're considering, you know, or coming from there to here, you know, you just want to know more. Okay. But here's what happens is that Jesus says when we have a relationship with him, it says we need to what him? Blank me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow, right? Jesus moves. Because and he moves us when he does that. Okay, so if you come and consider, then there's a decision here because he's moving this way. He's saying, no, I want to tell you more about me. So, Vinny, you have a choice then. And this is a big one. And this is where some of you are today. And this is the choice of belief. You've known a lot of facts about God, but now it's like, okay, so I know more. And I've seen more. I've seen things that I've never seen before. I've started hearing the word of God. Like for me in this choice, you know, it started making sense. And I knew the need I have to deal with garbage in my life. God was answering some of that, but at some point in time, I had to make this change to go over here. What's that? What is the thing that makes you go there? What's that choice? I believe in you. I put my faith in you. I trust in you. Not intellectually. So some of you are here today and you have to make that choice to get across this barrier. To get closer to Christ, to be in that relationship with Christ. Ooh, give him a hug. Okay? It's good thing they're friends. So, all right. That's really cool. Okay, but then Jesus doesn't say, hey, this is all I've got for you. Let's hang out here. Glad that I forgave your sins. Hope the life goes well. No. He says, I want to take you somewhere. And so here is a barrier here. Okay, these would be lines, but I didn't set it up. So now you have a choice again. You can stay right here. And this is the thing that I want to throw out to you. I think there's a huge temptation for many of you to stay right here and go, thanks, God. I love being right here. I'm forgiven. That feels really good. I'm not going there. Because to go there, what is Jesus trying to deal with as he moves away? What is he calling you to deal with after you've come to a faith in Christ? What is he asking you to deal with to keep going? What are things that come up? I really want answers. Okay? The way that you react to other people needs to change. He doesn't allow you to just to hate people. But he's also, by coming to him, you realize, if he loved me with all the garbage I have, why in the world would I judge or not love someone else? But it means I have to go there. Right. So I have to deal with my pride, my unlovingness, you know, my selfishness. What else does he, you know, really in this decision of obedience, what are things you now have to obey? Help me out here. This is the basic Christian life. Ten Commandments. Yeah, it's like instead of a suggestion, it's like, yeah, I really do want you to live those out. Those would be what I would want you to do. Your view of God begins to change even more. You realize he's not just my Savior. He's someone who loves me, and I'm starting to notice his character, so I trust him more. He starts talking about idols in your life, things that you worship more than him, and he says, you can't do that. One of the Ten Commandments, but it's one of the most practical things in our walk. There are things that you love. He goes, you can love those, but they will never give you life. Love something that will give you life. And he says, you now have to obey. But to get across this barrier, you have to obey. But once you take that step of obedience and you're like, okay, God says then when you obey, a lot of things start happening. He's able to meet you there in obedience before he could, you know, what he couldn't do before. And he says, there's blessing in obedience. You then start seeing me because as you're obeying, I'm able to bless. I can't bless when you're telling me off. But as you come near me, then I can bless. I can lead. And your life starts changing. Okay? That's where a lot of Christians are. And they stay there. And I'll tell you why. Because there's something else that comes up. But then God says, well, you know, that is good. But in following me, you know, there's one last thing, and that is, at the core, we are all control freaks. We all hold on to our life. We all want to do deals with God to say, okay, God, I'll give you so much, and then you're going to, like, bless me big, right? The car, the girl, the grades, the school. Okay, and God says, no. He says, I bought you with a price. And this is where those of you who are followers of Christ, you know that what Jesus is offering you is not a deal. He bought you with a price. He said, now your life is really mine. Galatians 2:20, you died, Christ lives in you. And he says, now let me live out my life in you. And that may not make sense to you, but it does to some of you because you know what that means. And he's calling you to take that next step, which is surrender, to say, instead of hanging on to my life, I'll let go. Because I know that you'll do a better job. I know that you love me. I know you. I can trust you. And when you surrender, then those attitudes, beliefs, and actions, they change because of you've moved then to where Christ is to say, I want to stay with you. Okay? Give these guys a hand. I really appreciate it. I don't know if that helps you anymore. I don't know if that helps you anymore. But that is what the truth is, that our growth really is when we hit that next level to say, will I believe in him rather than just know about him? Will I obey him? Will I surrender to him? Some of you guys have stopped. And I would challenge you to say, don't. You got to keep growing in your walk. Okay? I'm going to give you one other illustration, partly because it's the world I used to live in, so I understand it more than not. And that is in the area of sports. Okay? If I use the same categories, the first one would be spectator. I'm willing to look. You know, there's a lot, you know, what do they say about a stadium? There's hundreds of thousands of people who are in desperate need of exercise watching 10 who are 22 who are in desperate need of rest, you know. It's kind of a weird thing, but spectators want to see, but for them to go beyond spectator to become player, they then have to take on a lot, you know, a lot of stuff that allows them to prepare to play, okay? And most are unaware of that until they show up. Like, how many of you guys are playing football this year? Raise your hand. You're doing two-a-days and all that great stuff. Isn't that fun? Don't you just love that? I never forget when I played football, it was just like, I can't wait for school to start because then the pain gets reduced because they can only do so much to you, you know? But there's many who play sports. But check this out. This is true in almost any sport. There's people who play and they love it, but they're not necessarily that good. And some play and they try really hard. But there's another step for them here that says, but I want to do really well. And so what changes is their love for the game changes the way they will listen and respond to their coach. Because the coach says, well, this is what you need to work on. So they do. You know, I remember in wrestling, you know, our coach was, you know, made us do insane things, you know, like sets of 100 push-ups at a time. And it's like, I would never do that on my own. I don't even want to do that. But I wanted to grow to be better instead of getting whooped all the time. So I started listening and responding and doing it. The last stage is really where some of the guys that I wrestle with went to states. You know what they did? They didn't just do what the coach said. They did stuff on their own time. They were out running. They would go to clinics in the summer. They would wrestle throughout the year. They were surrendered. They're like, yeah. So if you can follow that parallel of spectator, player, the next one I called, you know, was committed. And the last one I said was passionate or crazy, whatever. Passionate. You see that the only way that you get to the next one is by a decision. And when you are in that stage, all the attitudes and actions make sense. Okay? Someone who is in the passionate stage, willing to go to summer stuff, do it on his own time, they are convinced the benefit will happen. They are convinced the payoff is there. And they don't need anyone else to push them. They've got it. They are down. You know? But if you're just the player, you need a lot of encouragement. You need a lot of training. You need someone to kind of help kick your butt and keep you going. Okay, where are you? And where do you want to go? That's really what Christ is asking you, even as we come into this fall. Are you comfortable? Are you willing to let him ratchet it up? Now, the interesting thing is, the Lord is always at work. So the things right now, I'd ask you to stop and think. Where are you finding the most pain? Where is it most difficult for you right now? For some of you, that's within your family. For some of you, it's dealing with life issues that have come up. wherever the pain's coming from, that is where God is. God didn't create it all, but God is using that to help you grow. He wants you to trust Him and respond to Him in it. Okay? All right. A couple of the things that you have on your sheet there that I'm going to be filling out are talking about dependence. One thing that's interesting that I guess from the front, I would say we owe you an apology in church, in the sense of we in some ways create a dependency upon the church or the youth group or whatever in a way that as you're growing is not healthy, okay? If the coach said to you, just only do what I say, never go beyond that, okay, he wouldn't be helping you as an athlete. But I think sometimes you can get the attitude of, wow, if I just do more stuff, then I'll grow. And the reality is there's a dependency issue that needs to change for you to mature, okay? As you grow, you become less dependent on the church and alone to help you grow. We become what I'd call interdependent, if you're looking for the word in the blank. They're interdependent, which means I'm not independent. God didn't wire me in a way that I grow on my own. It's like, I don't need anybody, Lone Ranger, Christian, just going off on my own. No, there's an interdependence where you need people, but you need to also be standing on your own two feet, okay? Our goal is to help you become a mature follower of Christ who can feed themselves and join in the ministry. By the time you leave this group, you should be able to go to the Word of God and take a passage and study it and go, that's what that means. Okay? And then say, and that's how I need to live it out. That's how I apply it to my life. It's not just knowledge, but that's how I live it out. A key is when you become responsible for your own walk and you start standing on your own two feet. Have you done that? Are you waiting for pressure from your mom or your friends to keep moving you? Well, here's the tough thing. I'll do it in sports. There's different groups in sports. I remember, you know, it always comes up. I was reminded of this when my son Peter's playing house league football in Herndon. And I love it at the end where they all line up and they all do the 40-yard, you know, suicide stuff and whatnot. And, you know, there's the kids who are like, I'm going to beat everybody. And they're just blazing down, you know. And Pete was right behind them. So it was really cool. Like, go, Pete. Then there's the others who are like, yeah, you know, form over function. I'm moving, you know. And then there's the ones who are like, I don't care. They can't make me go faster. You know, I've got to play. The rules say I've got to play. So they're like walking, you know. So you see how these groups tend out. Well, eventually, someone who says, I'm going to take responsibility for my own growth. Sometimes if you make that decision, you realize you're going to have to break away from your group. You know, sometimes your group's not going there. And you're like, I can either stay in the group or I can take the heat sometimes and go, I'm not brown nosing. I am serious about going where I'm going. Okay? And that is also true spiritually. You might have friends in this room who are great friends, but they may hold you back. And you might need to say, you know what? I'm making a decision. I'm owning the responsibility in my life, and I'm going to follow Christ, even if my other immediate guys don't go with me. I want to go there. Okay? The key is becoming responsible for your own walk. And sometimes I think we enable you to stay where you are and become dependent, even on the youth group, to make you walk with Christ. The next one is stalled. It was interesting at summer camp when we asked you to kind of fill out some evaluations. I know some of you made a really strong statement. It was interesting. You said, I feel like I'm in a spiritual valley. I feel like something's going on. I'm just not growing. Haven't grown. I've been stale or stagnant. Can you identify with that? We all hit things like that if you're normal, okay? So you're not normal if you don't. You're normal if you do. But when you stall in your Christian life, there is a very good reason. And usually those are people, if I use, you know, they're like growing in Christ and close in Christ. It's in that middle stage where you're really trying to grow. It's not like I don't care. It's like I'm trying to grow. So what happens? The stalled group seems to include people at the beginning of their faith journey who run into difficult life circumstances or come face to face with a personal weakness or sin that is incompatible with following Christ. Because their walk with God is not deeply rooted in spiritual practices, daily prayer, Bible study, etc., they feel rudderless, consequently dissatisfied in their spiritual life. Which means this, if you're, you know, say you're in the category that says, hey, I'm growing in Christ, you know, and we talk about this like, you know, it's no duh, it's even on a human level, I'm going to die if I don't eat, right? And Jesus said, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word from God. He was trying to say to you, you need to hear from God, the living God, who made you and walks with you, knows you better than you are, knows your issues better and what's going on around you. You need to eat. If you don't, it'll affect you. So if you, in this stage, stuff happens in life that you, because you haven't disciplined yourself, you're just not hearing the God, then you're going to stay there because you'll believe lies and it won't change. But if you are able to then say, no, I really need to hear from God, and God starts talking to you and helps you pull the lie out and go, that's wrong. And he tells you, no, this is what I'm doing. He starts changing you, and then you start moving again, okay? But here are four things that can help you, that can cause you to stall, okay? Four life circumstances. The first one is addictions. 27% is what they estimated are, you know, Christians who are stalled according to addictions, which would include pornography, video games. This might sound funny, but uncontrolled shopping. Like, it's gone to that, you know. Alcohol, overeating, performance driven, you name it. But has your life got an addiction component to it that really sucks the life out of you? If it does, then you're going to be stalled until you deal with it. You can't just get past it. You can't ignore it. There are strongholds that God must tear down for you to move forward. Okay. Second one is inappropriate relationships. That's where your independent relationships, physical relationships, being unequally yoked, close friends who are pulling you from God rather than to God. Your relationships are a huge factor, both good and bad. And that's where you need to really be discerning. You will become like those who you've put around you in attitude, action, and belief. To move forward, you need to put strong believers, people who you know will tell you the truth, kick your butt when you need it, and encourage you and be there no matter what happens. The third is emotional issues. Here they said maybe 48% of people were dealing with that. Depression, anger, stuffing emotions, past wounding by others. I know for some of you that's a major deal. You can't just get past that. That's something you need help with. You need to seek out other believers and help find the freedom in Christ that God says he can help you to deal with those, or you're just not going to be growing again. Lastly is, and this is, it's interesting, 89%, so most of us deal with this, is not prioritizing our life. And this affects you as you even are looking at school this year. Most of you with a great heart and a desire to make, you know, to really do it all, can overwhelm yourselves with all the things you try to do. Okay. So that would include things like time spent on TV that's just wasted, internet, movies, Facebook, texting, shopping, or even positive things like, you know, what you do athletically, academically, or whatever that can be good, but to such an excess that it's out of balance. Here's what I want to throw out to you. Many of you might accept this as just the way life is. And I would tell you, if you want to grow, sometimes you have to make a really hard decision and realize your time is not unlimited and your strength is not unlimited, that you need to really make some hard choices to see, what does God want me to do? Because Satan does not have to get you bad if he can just keep you busy enough to blow off Christ. The last thing is Christ-centered. Those believers who have taken the step to recognize the lordship of Christ, they're not perfect, but their decision is to give God the keys, which allows him to work in and through them in a really powerful way. Down there on your sheet there, Jesus does not ask for parts of your life. He asks for all. In Matthew 7, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you just don't do what I say? Okay? Many ignore the fact that, you know, Christ really has bought them back. Those who realize this truth, that you're only as free as your master allows you to be, knows that Christ is the only master that can give you freedom. And secondly, those who fully surrender their lives have realized that life is not about them. It's about being in God's story. It's having a high desire to grow, to want a mature person to help them, discipling. They also have a high desire to serve, just as Jesus did. They want to pour out their life into others. These are the things that we're looking at this year as we're going to structure ministry, because we're going to push you to say, we're not interested in you just being more active. We're asking you to really, how are you going to grow closer to others around you in Christ? So what I want you to do right now, at your table, there's three questions for your table to discuss. Those in the back, go ahead and pull together into your own group. Guys on the side, pull in your group. We're going to give you about 8 minutes to go ahead and kind of talk about what you just heard, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, guys, let me have your attention. We're going to have to cut it off right there. Let me pray, and you guys are dismissed. Lord, I thank you for our time together today. I thank you that you help us even see ourselves where we are. And I pray for each one of us, the things that we know in our life that we need to consider and make even some decisions about, make convictions about, to help us stay close to you, Lord. I pray that today you'll give us the grace to see that and to take those steps. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here and are searching, Lord. I pray today you'd help them just realize how much you love them, that you died in their place, and you ask them to take for themselves that gift of eternal life, to invite you in, and you will forgive. And Father, I just pray you guide our day, pray you bless our time together at the baptism, and bless our week this week. In Jesus' name, amen.